you for another 30 minutes. We'll have You Can't Be Serious to finish off the show and the week coming up in about 20 minutes. We will get to John's conversation with the voice of West Virginia here in just a second. First, we need a winner for our Royals Fan Fest weekend getaway contest. The winner will receive 4 all-day Fan Fest passes for Friday, January 27th and Saturday, January 28th. 1 hotel room in downtown Kansas City within walking distance to Fan Fest for Friday night, and 1 $100 Jack Stack barbecue gift card. Actually, I think that's burying the lead a little bit. That may be the best portion of this, and I'm a huge Royals fan.
Now, tell me, who you know some of the Royals are going to be there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to Mike Moustakas is going to be there. Eric Hosmer is going to be there. Whit Merrifield, there's a who's who. He's gonna be there. Did I don't mean to make fun of Whit Merrifield, and also the postseason hero Christian Colon, and there could be several others as well. Those are just the ones that I'm sure of at this point. But it's a pretty good list. Good place to start.
And we are down to
four names. That's
four
right,
four people.
So throughout the week, we've had people submit their names in, and I have them on four different pieces of paper here. And they are numbered 1 through 4, not in the order that we got them. They are in random order. And so, Grant, I'm going to ask you to pick a number between 1 and 4. So I'm putting the power in your hands. So if anyone doesn't like the results of this, Grant Flanders, look him up. I'm sure you can find his address somewhere. And and we'll go from there. So, Grant, number between 1 and 4, please.
Really throwing me under the bus here, Tyler. Yep. I'll pick number 1 then.
Okay, number 1. Number 1 is Casey.
All right.
Casey is number 1. Oh man, I meant to do the drum roll thing like Christmas Vacation style. That would have been funny. Anyway, I am going to be getting in contact with Casey when we go to our next break, and the Royals will actually be reaching out.
Casey, I want to talk to you for a second here. I might have plans that weekend. But if you need an extra person to go, I will cancel them. I'm a fun guy. I don't mind going.
He's saying that if you need a plus one for your Jack Stack experience.
Plus one.
But who picked your number, Casey?
That's true.
Maybe, I mean, if 2, 3, and 4 might be upset, but Casey should be pretty happy with me picking the number.
That's true. That's a good point.
Take me to the game and Jack Stack.
I really appreciate all the listeners and our runners-up, Amy, Annette, and Teresa. Thank you for submitting your names, and better luck next time.
Have you ever been
to Royals Fan Fest? Yes. I did go once, and it was a pretty awesome experience. And that was before the 2014 season. You know, back when we thought the Royals, yeah, they might be decent, but we certainly didn't know what would happen over the next 2 years. I would bet that it's a way bigger event now with how relevant the Royals are. Maybe not as much this year as, like, say, going to FanFest last year after winning the World Series, but
and
still.
I doubt it's not all just, like, meet and greets. There's still other things to do, right? Is there, like, some fun and games and...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's. I mean, you can. You know, there's stands set up for you to buy things, and I mean, it's basically just a lot of baseball stuff. I think the Negro Leagues Museum has an exhibit kind of set up that nice. You can check some things out. There's a lot of cool things going on there. Grant, by the way, before we move on, I wanted you to pick one more number just in case we are unable to reach our winner. So we do need a backup winner.
4.
Okay, I'm not actually going to say which one that is, but there is someone else that is in line to get these if we are unable to get in touch with Casey. All right, with all that out of the way, our fearless leader, John Kurtz, had a chance to catch up with the voice of West Virginia basketball earlier this afternoon to talk about the matchup coming up tomorrow at Bramlage Coliseum. So for an angle from Morgantown, here's that conversation.
All right, I'm joined right now by Tony Caridi, the West Virginia play-by-play voice. K-State and West Virginia tip off at 5 o'clock tomorrow inside Bramlage Coliseum. Wildcats got a win in their midweek game, and surprisingly, West Virginia lost at home to Oklahoma in a game in which they led the Sooners by 15 in the second half. So we'll start there. Tony, I appreciate the time as always, but I think to many it was a shocker that West Virginia dropped that game to Oklahoma. How big of a surprise was that to the Mountaineers in Morgantown?
Oh, that was a big-time shocker. We haven't had one of those in a long, long time. West Virginia was favored by 17, and as you well know, those odds makers, for whatever reason, normally are more right than wrong. And so I think everyone kind of went into the game thinking that it would be an easy victory. You know, the Sooners were 2 under .500 coming in overall and had not won a road game yet in the league. And so it was absolutely a stunner.
Was there a sense of perhaps letting your foot off the gas when you do build a lead like that in the second half?
I think so. I think that West Virginia struggled the entire game and just couldn't get any rhythm at all. In fact, trailed by 3 points at halftime and really had to grind and battle to take that 15-point lead, which occurred just inside of 9 minutes to go. I think what happened was once they worked so hard to get the lead and build it up and went on a nice run, they thought it was over. Unfortunately, Oklahoma didn't, and Oklahoma basically gave West Virginia a dose of its own medicine, forcing turnovers, getting easy run-out baskets, and quickly that 15-point lead disintegrated, and really, the Sooners could have won it in regulation. Jordan Woodard went to the free throw line after making a bucket on the baseline to try to convert a 3-point play with less than 2 seconds to go. Missed the foul shot. That forced us into overtime, and then in overtime, West Virginia hits a 5-point lead and self-destructed again with one of its big problems, and that's making foul shots. West Virginia missed 5 out of 9 foul shots in overtime. It was just abysmal from the second half on from the free throw line, and that was one of many reasons why they lost the game.
Yeah, I'm not one to say that a Big 12 road win is a game in which you played poorly necessarily, but beat Texas by 2 right before that game against Oklahoma. Would you characterize it as 2 straight games where they have struggled, or how would you phrase it?
I would think, John, it's 2 straight games in which they have not had the energy which is necessary to play the style that is required of them to play to be successful. How's that for a sentence? Try to diagram that one. So the long and the short of it is that if West Virginia were to line up and just play half-court basketball like most teams do in this league, they would not be where they are right now record-wise or ranking-wise. West Virginia must press and force teams into turnovers and force teams to play quicker than they want to. So as a result of that, the way that you can measure to see if your energy level is at the proper rate to be successful is West Virginia measures deflections per game. So on the season, they average 47 deflections per game. The 2 games that we're just talking about here, Texas and Oklahoma, West Virginia only had 32. When they lost earlier this season to Temple, they had 39. When they lost to Texas Tech, they had 32. They snuck out of Texas last week with a 32 deflection game, but against Oklahoma, it wasn't enough. And so the short answer is, unless West Virginia is around 40 deflections in league play, then they're probably going to be in a bad situation. It all comes down to their energy level, and so that'll be the telling tale here in this game against K-State is will West Virginia play with the energy needed. Now, this has been a team that each time this season when they have been told and when they face a significant challenge, they play. First indication was earlier this season at Virginia, a team that had won more than 20 games in a row. At home, West Virginia knew what it had in front of it and went in there and won the game, kind of going away with a late run. The next big challenge would have been Oklahoma State. If you remember, late December, the Cowboys were playing really well before league play started, and we thought, okay, here it is, you know, Brad's first game as the coach at Oklahoma State as far as league games go, and they did sell it out, and West Virginia went in there and throttled them. And then the Baylor game, undefeated, number one team in the country. They stepped on it, and they forced 54 deflections in that game. But then the last 2 games, they're supposed to win by double figures against Texas and Oklahoma, and they were just not at their level. And so tomorrow, or in this game here, we're going to find out and see exactly if they can put their foot down on the gas again and see if it works.
I'm talking with Tony Caridi, the West Virginia play-by-play voice, head of the Mountaineers and the Wildcats at 5 o'clock inside Bramlage Coliseum. I guess if you remove the last 2 games, it seemed like the narrative had been this was the best edition of Press Virginia that Bob Huggins has rolled out there. Would you agree with that notion?
Yes, I think it is. This is the 3rd season that they've done it, and I think that the majority of these guys are doing it for the 3rd year. You know, Javon Carter, Nathan Adrian, Daxter Miles. Those guys have all now got into their third year of doing it. Then we've got a couple of two-year guys in Issa Ahmad and Tariq Phillip. And so what they've noticed is that two things have happened. They're not fouling as much, which is huge, because we were up there among the national leaders the last couple of years because the traps just weren't secure enough. So they're not fouling as much. And as another piece of that is they haven't turned the ball over as much as they had been previously. So it was the best press up until the last couple of games, and it still could be the best press if they can get back, you know, to their efficiency level that they showed earlier.
I know one storyline going into the year, obviously they lost a lot down low from last season. Devin Williams, Jonathan Holton both gone. How has the replacement process really gone there?
For the most part, it's gone well. I think that Holton was the guy that was he guarded the inbound, and he was up and down. I mean, he'd go get some rebounds and things like that, but he was as much of a challenge, I think, for the staff as for the opposition. And so I think you've got a little bit more calm there. And Devin Williams, you know, was a significant loss. The guy with the goggles, people may remember. He was a big, strong kid that we really rebounded it well. But for the most part, that five spot has been, done by committee, and it's worked well. We've got a kid named Brandon Watkins who really hadn't done anything at all in the last 3 years, and he's having a great senior season comparatively. I mean, he's shooting 65% from the field. He's getting four rebounds. He's averaging 7 points. He's blocking some shots. And then we've got a freshman by the name of Sagabaugh Kanate who has come in, and he's got 27 blocks already through his first 18 games, which is already more block shots than Devin Williams had in his three-year career. So he's a shot blocker, going to be a good player. And then another kid by the name of Elijah Macon, who's been with us now for a couple of years, he's coming off his career high. And so by committee, they've kind of supplemented what Williams had been doing by himself.
Well, Tony, much appreciate the time as always joining me here on Powercat Game Day. Safe travels to Manhattan and enjoy this one.
Thank you very much. Nice to be with you.
All right. Really appreciate John being able to catch up with Tony Caridi, the voice of West Virginia basketball, ahead of the contest tomorrow at 5 o'clock at Bramlage Coliseum. You'll be able to hear Powercat Game Day to get our coverage started at 3 o'clock, the network coverage from the K-State Sports Network at 4 o'clock. Going to head to our next break. We do have You Can't Be Serious that's going to be coming your way in about 10 minutes or so. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.